And welcome back, live from RKGGF Historic Studios here in downtown Coffeyville. Sam Speck, glad you're with us here on this Wednesday morning. As back in our studio, continuing our talks here with the K-State Research and Extension offices, it's agents Kylie Ludwig and Barbara Ames. Barbara, Kylie, again, thanks so much for joining us here on this Wednesday. Of course, you can listen back to our first segment on the main screen of our website at kggfradio.com. There was a Veducate Yourself course that we had some information on. Of course, you can listen back to that. But as Kylie and I were digging through here, we're looking up to the new school year, believe it or not. It is just a few weeks away. I think for USD 445, it is the 15th or 16th, somewhere around there. So incredibly close. But with that, again, we kind of started off with getting your kid back into the right sleeping pattern and then maybe planning out your morning to be a little bit more organized than what you have thought. Again, Kylie, Barbara, thanks for joining us here. Kylie, let's continue to dive through this packet here. I like this.
Yes. So once you have them back on that sleep schedule, you want to make sure the next thing you want to do is plan for healthy snacks. And Barbara and I were talking about those during the break, trying to hit as many food groups as you can, taking your child to the grocery store with you and letting them pick some things that they might eat for lunch, prepping vegetables on the weekend.
Right. Do that ahead of time.
Yeah. One of his favorites is taking strawberries to school. And so making sure that, you know, to slice those up easier for him to eat. If they get to pick their healthy foods, they're more likely to eat them. So that's just a good little tip to letting
fruit
them be.
Instead of a lot of cookies and things like that.
Yes.
Some fruit, string cheese, and again, several food groups.
Yeah, what my mom did that probably helped her out financially as well, but she would just buy a couple of chicken breasts and cook them at the beginning of the week and then kind of partition them out for, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I would have some chicken, and then on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, I'd have something else, but kind of mix it up like that. But, you know,
right.
You would just make that one chicken breast at the beginning of the week and
right.
You'd have lunch.
Planning ahead is the key to a lot of good things.
Yeah.
The same way adults meal prep, it's good to meal prep your children's lunches too.
There you go. And well, and like you had mentioned too, there, I don't know what it was about, you know, big either grocery stores or Bed Bath & Beyond or anything like that, but you walked into it as a kid. I loved shopping in grocery stores, you know. It was like, oh, I want this, this, this. And so, yeah, you allow them to pick their own food. Of course, they're going to enjoy it a little bit more, even if
right.
It is vegetables and fruits. They got to pick it, so.
That's right.
The next thing you want to focus on is making an appealing place to do their homework. And then again, keeping with that routine. Kids need routines and they need structure, so this is good for them. They should have a quiet, well-lit, pleasant place to do their homework. For younger children, it could be where you could easily supervise them and help answer questions if they have them, but maybe not necessarily in the middle of family chaos. Decide when your child will do their homework. You can help, you know, the child can help. If they have some decision making in that, they will probably be more likely to do it. So you can always change it up later if it doesn't work. But when it comes to school and homework, again, being organized, which I love, uh-huh. is really important. So bringing order to your child's room. So maybe separating projects that are going on, have labeled bins. You could give them some post-it notes, and that could help with reminders of when things are due. In our school, my kids go to 506 over at Labette County, and third grade they start getting planners. So both of my kids will have planners this year, and
nice.
Giving them a daily planner helps them keep track of things that are going on, what they did at school that day, so they're able to look back at those things and see if they have homework even. Keeping some extra supplies on hand, it never fails that kids are really good at saying, oh yeah, I have an assignment due tomorrow and I need to color this. So if you don't have any crayons at home, you're going to have a hard time getting that project done on time. Reserving a space for what your child takes to school every day. So again, helping with that evening routine, setting out their clothes. If you're making sure everything in their backpack is ready to go again, that's really going to help ease the morning stresses. Structuring your weekend. So many students add panic on Sunday because they didn't accomplish everything they should have. A lot of times with our reading logs, I know when the kids are in younger grades, they have reading logs. We may be reading 3 books at a time if we got busy over the weekend and had to get that done before school started the next week. So trying to really plan out and getting those assignments done. And being offering your child praise. Every child needs praise. I think adults do too.
Yes.
But being organized isn't easy for a child, so let them know that you're proud of their efforts. So when you see something that you can praise them for, really try to give them some praise for that. Also, you could talk to making sure that you're communicating with the teacher. That's always a big thing. Teachers, I think that they appreciate that communication, especially if you see a child struggling. So making sure that you talk with them, and then making sure that assignments come home. Checking those daily planners. I know at our school there's a parent communicator folder, and you go through those folders every night, and if you don't, you're going to miss something, like field trips that come up, and when assignments are due, or if they have something special going on in PE, like skate week or something like that. You know, you want to be checking that every day so your child's stuff's keeping on track.
Yeah, well, and I really like how you added the offer praise to it as well,
yes.
Because there's a lot of times, you know, maybe they're transitioning from elementary to middle school, or from middle school to high school. I mean, that's something that they're, you know, kind of stepping out of their own comfort zone for, and maybe it's something completely new. You know, they need to know that they're on the right track. They need to know that they're doing okay, that this is, you know, this was the right step to it. And I like, yeah, I like, well, it's a smart move by the teachers there, and to keep the parents up to date with that parent section or whichever, because
yes.
I used to try and hide assignments from my parents, so I didn't have any homework, and then it would come up on my report card. Where
yeah,
was
he's
that
not
homework?
Doing his homework.
Exactly.
Yes.
He's not doing his homework. So
these are long days for kids too. I mean, yeah. A lot of times they're going to school all day. They may be getting breakfast and lunch there, and then they stay for the after school program too. So, you know, parents are working long days, and those kids are going to be tired too. So yep. A little bit of praise goes a long ways.
Absolutely. Well, and that's both there and at home as well. At school and at home, find different ways to praise your child for their efforts there. So, well, again, we've kind of hit on getting your child into a good sleeping schedule, planning out, making sure that, and then getting into a nice homework. But it looks also, I'm pretty sure, a very important part of really any kid, but anybody, even work. You just said adults here, but plan activities and downtime. Very vital even to adults.
Yes. So kids are sitting a long time during the day. I mean, they usually have PE and they have recess, especially in those younger grades. But planning some activities and downtime is important. It's important that your child be active. So signing up for a team sport or other physical activity can be a good idea. Be sure there's enough time for homework and sleep. So this is crucial for your child's mental health. Your child needs time to relax and play no matter what their age. So all these tips we've talked today seem pretty basic and simple, but they can easily get lost in the shuffle. These simple tasks can be effective when families do them. So giving them a try, I would give them a try. You know, you'd be glad that you did that.
Yeah, well, and the way it seems is you're just taking subtle steps to almost be the student with them in mm-hmm. subtle ways, you know, be up to date with their upcoming field trips or upcoming assignments, kind of know where that's going. And you know, I know you're taking that extra effort in almost going back to elementary school, but it is so beneficial for the kid to know that they're right on track. And then they're going to reciprocate that. They're going to continue to make those actions.
Yeah, I definitely feel sometimes that I'm in the same grade my children are in. You know, and it doesn't even have to be a team sport that you sign up for. You know, we go on family walks or bike rides a lot too. So just getting out and letting them stretch their legs, that's going to be good in the evenings, especially while we still do have some daylight and some nice weather.
Yeah, absolutely.
And trying to schedule some family meals during the week. I know that's difficult with the schedules that we all keep, but the research shows that families that have meals together, that the children do a lot better in school and they have just better outcomes overall. So planning some family meals, and then like Kylie said, that activity can be as simple as getting out and walking around the block or something like that as a family. Just get that family time in.
Exactly, especially with the weather cooperating the way it is. Mm-hmm. Go out the backyard, throw around the football, maybe take a walk, play with the animals if you have them, something like that. So again, back to school, getting your child off to a great start. We've been hitting on these in both of our segments. You can listen back to them. But Kylie, Barbara, any final notes about getting your kiddos ready for school for our listeners?
I think that what Barbara said too, if you're going to talk about those family meals again, asking them questions about their day, that's always a great time to ask them that. So
I was going to say the family dinners at my house were always kind of a toss-up. You know, it was either like, oh man, what did I do today? Or it's like, oh good, you know, it's a nice conversation, but it's a great opportunity for the parents to pry a little bit.
Yeah, so there's lots of lists of questions online that you can ask
right,
them.
There are.
Especially asking them, like, stuff about other kids. Did someone else get in trouble today? That'll get them talking about their day and leads them into things that they did.
Yeah, well, and with that, you know, you see it on TV shows and movies, but with kids, it's a little easier with psychology and to kind of manipulate your words to get them to not necessarily expose themselves, but to say something they wouldn't originally have. So, some good information here. Of course, you can listen back on the main screen of our website at kggfradio.com, as well as, do you guys is it, and you know, always have some great flyers, things like this. Are these available on your website?
It's on the website.
We do, yes.
Great. All right. Well, with that, let's kind of, you know, we had kind of ended right off into family dinners there and family food talks and things. And now I know you've been getting some questions here recently, Barbara, about food preservations.
I have. Just in the last month or so, I think gardens are starting to produce and orchards are starting to produce. So I've been getting questions about food preservation. One thing that I've seen recently is the electric multi-cookers, such as the Instant Pot and the Power Pressure Cooker XL and some of those things, they do advertise that they are safe for canning. But preliminary research conducted by Utah State University shows that these canners probably are not safe. They are not going to be able to destroy the bacteria that's responsible for botulism food poisoning because they don't always reach or sustain the temperatures necessary for canning certain foods. And so low acid foods would be things like vegetables, beans, meats, poultry, those kinds of things. So just be aware that probably it's a better idea just to use your boiling water canner or your pressure canner when you're doing your canning and not try to can in those electric multi-cookers.
Yeah.
And then I've had someone called in about canning beets recently and wanted to know if they could do that in their boiling water canner. And no, that would not be safe. The low acid things like your beets and green beans, and as I mentioned, all your vegetables and meat and things like that need to be pressure canned because adding that pressure is the only way to get the temperature up high enough to kill the botulism.
Gotcha.
So that's very important.
Yeah, and there are some, you know, importance with that, and obviously, you know, it's vital to the canning process. If you know, screw up that, then you're not going to have a very useful can of food by any means.
Well, so. And sometimes it can look okay. It can seal and look okay, but inside there can be botulism that's growing. So just follow a tested recipe and follow it. Exactly. Don't add things or take away things. Make sure that your headspace is appropriate and you process it for the right amount of time and then use either the boiling water or the pressure, whichever one's appropriate. And we do have a great website that we can refer people to that has videos and fact sheets and so forth if they have canning, if they want to learn more about canning. And we can test dial gauge canners at our office if you want to test your dial gauge on your pressure canner.
Nice. And would that be, you know, I think we've talked about it before, but just kind of something that you do yearly, kind of see where that gauge is at and,
right.
and go
it's
into
it. It's a good idea to test that yearly.
Yeah, go into it with the, you know, right state of mind, knowing exactly where you're at and that you got the right pressure and that you can get to the right spots. And
exactly.
I know you've said it before, but I can't necessarily remember. What are those two kind of special spots, you know, for pressure or for temperature-wise, depending on acidity or depending on the different ones?
Okay, so your boiling water canner goes up to 212, and that's, of course, where water boils. And so your high-acid foods, like your fruits and your salsas and things like that that you acidify, you know, there's low-acid foods that are in there, and tomatoes even are right on the line. So all that stuff you add some vinegar or, you know, something acidic, lemon juice or something like that to it. Those can be processed in the boiling water canner. But as I mentioned, when you get to vegetables, they are lower in acid, and your meats and those kinds of things need to be pressure canned because you need to get them up to a much higher temperature, like 240 or something like that. And you can just get there by pressurizing. Of course, water boils at 212, so the only way to get it higher is by pressurizing it, and that's why we do that.
Great, great. Again, speaking with Barbara Ames and Kylie Ludwig this morning from the K-State Research and Extension offices. Ladies, thanks so much for joining us here on this Wednesday. Always appreciate the conversations we have. We got about a minute left here. Any final notes or comments that you wanted to get out for our listeners this morning?
Well, just remember our Veducate program at Labette Health on September the 10th. And you can RSVP to Elaine Hudson at ehudson@labettehealth.com.
Right.
and learn about being a vegetarian if that's something that you're interested in.
Something that you're interested in. And then all the, not only that, but the
and
next
couple
of weeks.
Do it in a healthy
weeks,
way.
Yes, in a healthy
right,
way.
Right, that's the part of it.
Not only that, but kind of in the smack dab, but also the ending parts of fair season. So you guys, I know you're going to be busy with that. But again, do appreciate you coming in here on a Wednesday. Kindly, Barbara, thanks so much.
It's our pleasure. Thank you.
This is the Mighty 690 KGGF.